Okay, hello everyone. It's Nathan here. And welcome to the Inner Circle call. Today is the fourth Wednesday of the month, and today is the buyer and seller call. So, with that being said, we are going to discuss, I'm going to step outside here for a minute as well, get some nice air. We are going to discuss working with buyers and sellers, like you're having conversations with buyers and sellers. Because, you know, conversations, but also not limiting the conversation, but, you know, working with buyers and sellers, conversations you have, negotiating, things of that nature. But also any other questions is fine to answer as well. So I'll kick it off with a short update. I know recently I've told you that I have been acquiring some units in Portugal in my short-term rentals. That's still going well, but the funny thing is, with larger purchases, but, you know, one thing I always giggle at is with closings, they never settle usually on the date that you try to close. I'll give you an example. I have and this is great point of for today's call, is one of the Inner Circle students out in California is buying a house in Alabama, and his name's James. And James is a young guy. He's actually in his early 20s. And so he's been working on this property for a while. He had it first under contract for, I believe, $13,700. And after inspection, he went back with a renegotiation of the property. And he ended up getting a $2,000 discount. I think off the top of my head. I remember he got it for a renegotiation. The seller agreed, right? So he ended up picking it up for $11,700. He sent over the document to the seller. The seller agreed, signed off on the document. Then on the day of closing, which was yesterday, the seller says, "Wait, what do you mean $11,700? Right? What are you talking about?" And the buyer, James, said, "Yeah, you agreed. We talked about it. You agreed to the $2,000 discount because of the estimate of repairs, what they came back at. And you even signed the contract that you agreed to the $2,000 discount." So, interesting enough, those kinds of things can happen. But anyway, he is closing on the deal. He closed on it, I think, earlier this morning. So, which is fantastic, and it's going to be a great deal. And he already has buyers lined up because we've been working together on building his buyers list for about 4 months now, and he's been building his buyers list, which is fantastic. Anyway, wanted to share that with you, just kind of communication, right? Always the point of that story is, even though your seller or buyer may see something verbally, like, "Yeah, I agree," get it in writing, get a new contract signed. That's really important because it's something you always have to fall back on. And even though sometimes we want to put our full trust into someone and just say, and do the handshake, or, yeah, you know, you want to kind of give your trust over to someone and say, "Yeah, okay, they said it. Oh, I agree. They're going to, you know, everything's going to happen the way it was supposed to happen." Listen, in my opinion, I would say leave your verbal agreements for smaller sales, like yard sales, right? Or maybe you're selling things on Craigslist. Maybe you're selling these in your home and you're talking to people on apps and trying to sell things like that way. You don't need contracts for that stuff. However, with real estate investing and buying property, get contracts done because that's your fallback point, all right? So just wanted to open that, share the story with you about James. And the same thing kind of happened even with me, with my settlement date for the 10 units got pushed back about 2 weeks. So, but anyway, that's still happening, and things are moving forward. And new recent property coming up. It's actually more commercial. Got 90 units that we're working on in Fayetteville, North Carolina. So good stuff happening. But I wanted to open up today's call with that story from James, who's an Inner Circle member, and how he's having his first closing this morning. I'm sorry, not his first one. He actually bought a few others. But that story about his seller. All right, so let's open up the lines here and let you jump in. Any questions at all, whether it's dealing with buyers, sellers, conversations to have with a buyer or seller, or if you have any other questions as well, feel free to get that on the call as well. All right, so anyone who's ready to go first, just jump on in there and get your questions on.
Hey, Nathan, it's Forrest.
Hey, Forrest.
How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
So,
good.
So I have a couple questions. So I'm dealing with one guy that he has a property that's rented with Section 8 tenant right now. It's $1,000 a month. He wants $90,000 cash to purchase this property, and I'm not in this. I don't want to pay $90,000 for a property that's worth a little over that. I mean, I think it's, hold on, let me pull it up. But anyway, the point is he wants $90,000, but I'm trying to get it in a contract and then sell it to a, you know, turnkey rental person. And so, I think my problem is he's a seasoned investor, and I offered him like $86,000, and now he's like, I don't know if he got his feelings hurt or what, that I'm $4,000 below his asking price, you know. But you know, I've been texting, I haven't been blowing him up like a girlfriend, but I've been texting him like, hey, you know, you can view my offer, and he hadn't got back to me. So I don't want to bid against myself. You know, I'm waiting for him to return the conversation. You know, I don't want to, you know, just send him another offer higher, more or less,
yeah.
You know. But what should I do? Just, you know, play the waiting game on that guy?
Oh, wow. You're not even that far away from his asking price. You said he's asking 90 and you're offering 86?
Yeah, and the tax assessment's 100 and the average comps in the area are 120 to 135.
Okay. And was it a verbal offer or a written offer?
I sent a letter of intent.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, your offer is not that far away from what he's asking. I can't imagine being offended or getting his feelings hurt in regards to that. I think especially if he's an investor, he's going to know there's going to be a little, you know, tennis match back and forth. So I can imagine that happening. I mean, does your letter of intent have, like, well, probably not, but does – normally, like in a contract, right, you're going to have, hey, this contract, this offer is going to expire, right, the expiring contract clause. If you don't have that, then this kind of just leaves it open. And I would say, you know, you either, because he's an investor also, you might have to just wait it out, and he's probably waiting for more offers. You know, could be thinking about it. another question I would throw in there, especially when dealing with other investors, if you've had a phone conversation, I would say, hey, if you could just give me a yes, no, or maybe, right? If you give me just a yes, no, or maybe, the maybe may be a hold, but I just need to know. So another thing, too, in your contracts, do you have a clause by chance in when the offer expires? Have you ever done the expiring, you know, expiring offer?
My purchase agreement has an expiration, but I don't think my letter of intent does. Matter of fact.
Okay. So, yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Now, you're using a letter of intent. Actually, I've never seen your letter of intent. Could you email that over to me? I'd just like to look
I'll
at it.
I'll email you this one right here.
Sure.
I'll forward this one to you. But, yeah, it doesn't have it.
Doesn't have it.
I'll
you can
put an expiration in that letter. I mean, it's something I auto-generate from Podio. I've got it built in.
Sure.
To my Podio setup. I'll just change it.
Yeah, you can throw that in there. There actually is there's a one-page contract that we've been using. I'll email you that as an example. We added two new things. One of them I can't even think of right now, but the other one was the expiring offer. We added it back into the market because we removed it, and it, oddly enough, we removed it in Jacksonville because for some reason, I don't know if it was more of the culture there. They needed to, like, a little bit more time. I don't know why, but we got a lot of pushback from the expiring contract in Jacksonville. But we put it back on the contract in Fayetteville, and it's back on there now. So I can actually email you my example of a one-page offer with an expiring deadline for the contract. And I'd like to see your LOI, and then we can compare notes there. That can help. That does create urgency in the offer for them to get back to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
So we can try that.
Yeah, I'm shooting it over to you right now. Okay.
Okay.
Cool. All right.
By the way, I just wanted to reiterate. I like your newsletter, How the McGee Minute. I love that. And I wanted to bring that up, actually. I'm glad you're on the call because, first of all, for everyone listening, you know, Forrest does a newsletter, a digital newsletter, e-newsletter to his cash buyers, to his investors. And he lets them know what's going on in the business and also lets them know about any properties that are available. And he gave it a good branding title, The McGee Minute, because his last name is McGee. And it flows really well. But the importance of the follow-up being top of mind is a really important thing, whether you're dealing with, well, sellers, yes. But in this case, I'm going to say buyers. In Forrest's case, I'm on his buyers list. So it's important whether you're dealing with sellers, because sometimes if you're not staying top of mind with your sellers, you're making offers, and if they don't remember, sometimes they forget, or you get multiple offers from other investors. Having a good follow-up system, buyers and sellers, staying in communication with them is important, and Forrest actually does that with an email system follow-up. So, yeah, Forrest, good work with that, by the way.
Thank you. That's not easy, you know?
No.
Hold on, shoot. That's not easy doing that MailChimp every month. You know, you actually have to discipline yourself to do it.
And, right, right.
And have to discipline our assistant to do it.
Right, yeah. And, you know, you make it really personable. And I think maybe that some people, like, hire someone and they just say, hey, you know, fill this up for the next 12 months and automate it for the next 12 months. And one thing you can tell your assistant is, hey, but I'm going to email you a little bit about us and what's been happening and just add that to the newsletter. You make yours very personable, which, you know, makes it much more of a read worth reading, and rather than some generic information. I think the generic information ones tend to get looked over. But the whole point of the top of mind, being top of mind with your sellers or your buyers is important. That really helps.
Yeah, it does. And some of the people that you never would expect to respond, you know, responsibly,
yeah.
You know,
that's
our
true.
Life insurance agent. I mean, he's like always the first one to go, awesome, you know, and,
right.
And you as well. And, you know, and then,
right.
You know, had a new guy the other day who I added to the list on, you know, Tuesday and sent that email out on Thursday or whenever, or Wednesday, whenever I sent it. And he was like, oh, man, that's awesome. Thanks for including me, you know. And
yeah.
So this deal that I'm trying to lock up right now with the seller, mm-hmm. He's interested in adding it to his portfolio. Well, actually, it would be his first one, you know. So yeah, it adds value. But we shoot that
right.
out to, like, there were 700 people. I shoot it out to everybody that, you know, doesn't unsubscribe.
Sure.
It's better to ask for forgiveness, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
But you just never know what it's going to do because not everybody's on Facebook or, you know,
sure.
It's hard to have that many friends on Facebook.
Right.
And
sure.
Plus, we post it to Facebook and Twitter. So, you know, it
mm-hmm.
sends a link out to that.
Right. Well. Okay, cool.
It's just another way. It's just, like you said, it's another way
yep.
to people to know what you're doing. And, you
right.
know, we're trying to
reminding people. Right.
Yeah, we're in the relationship business. So
true.
We're not in the, you know, hiding out business.
Right. It's very true. Very true.
So, and then I had another one. I walked in this lady's house and the hot water had been running for 2 months underneath the sink. And
oh.
There's mold all over the place. And
oh.
It was nasty. I mean, I knew there was something wrong when I was walking around the house and I could see the condensation on the inside of the window. I was like, there's something wrong here. And I walked in there and then, you know, she said, well, I just do the work myself. I said, have you ever renovated a house before in your life? Goes, no. I said, okay, well, I don't think this is one you want to start on, you know, and they got upset at me because I gave my firm offer of $41,000, and they wanted, you know, $70,000 for a house that was worth $120,000, and then they got their feelings hurt, and, you know, I think there's nothing you can do but let time heal that once their feelings hurt. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But she was like, the house across the street just sold 2 months ago for $150,000, and you're telling me my house is worth $120,000.
But Forrest, let's bring up some clarity, because I know some people listening to this might be like, well, you know, maybe some people don't know that you actually do walk your properties. The other thing too is the damage. I mean, how did you bring up the damage, the rehab estimate of repairs? How did you bring that up and present that? That's an important part.
I do a worksheet right there with them. And so I take a folder, presentation folder, and I have in there, I have a repair worksheet, and I just, you know, I sell them on my experience. And that was another thing, you know, she said, you know, I looked at your website and I saw that you, you know, have a lot of good reviews. And that's something that, I mean, we're all on this call and everybody knows that we all use Carrot, right? So I mean, that's one of the things that every, you know, that they just constantly preach about at Carrot is credibility. And so, you know, you get real testimonials on your website, and, you know, this lady, you know, that's why she called me. And so, you know, I had instant, you know, credibility there. And then I told her, I said, you know, I flip houses for a living. This is what I do, and I know what these things cost. And so I went through a cost sheet, and even she had a couple estimates of her own that she had gotten contractors to come out. And I love when they do that because I can use their numbers against them. And still didn't work, but, you know, the practice is the same. So I just went through the whole, you know, what it would cost to get the house to retail condition. And then I explained to them why I need to be at, you know, 70% of their value, why it's 10% for their realtor and closing costs, and 10% for overhead, and 10% for my company profit. And then, you know, we start at that 70%, and then we work down from there. And then she goes, but, you know, $41,000. And I said, but I just showed you the numbers. I just showed you exactly what it would cost me to do. She goes, well, I can do it and get, you know, more money for it. And then I get the 30%. I said, and that's where I said, have you ever renovated a house before? I mean, do you have any idea what it would take? I said, and my contractors I use all the time, so I get a better price. It's just that what would cost me $45,000 would cost you $70,000 to $80,000.
Right.
You learn lessons and, you know, get taken advantage of.
Right.
And so, but they had their feelings hurt at that point, and there was nothing I could do.
Anyway. Well, you said it very well for us. You know, sometimes it's just time heals all wounds, and the reality is sometimes those people, it takes time. They look at the current situation. You leave them with your card. You leave them with your paperwork. You leave them with a good impression, and then it comes back, and they call you back. They say, you know what? Yeah, we don't want the hassle. We're going to give it to, you know, we'll sell it to you.
All right, this is perfect timing. So this guy just texted me back about the house I was telling you. I just sent an offer for $85,000. And I sent him right this morning at 12:45. I said, hello, I sent an offer yesterday. Did you have time to review it on text message? He just texted me back, and he said, yes, I appreciate it. I was looking more towards $95,000. I did a complete interior renovation about 3 years ago, updated the HVAC system, new bathroom, new kitchen, and we'll discuss it with my partner this afternoon. So he just texted me while I was talking to you. So
sure.
I just, you know, I'm going to get this thing locked up at 90 and just try to sell this thing off for $5,000 and be done with it.
Okay.
I think that'd be the, I mean, because this other guy, I already framed the other guy at 95.
Yeah.
You know, And that's a 1% deal for him with a tenant in place, you know, where he, sure, all he's got to do is lock it up with financing. So,
okay. So can I just clear that up for people? Cause I know we're kind of talking it like very, yeah. Let me just clear that up. So basically you have a property that's already been rehabbed. It's with two investors. They want to retail it. You have a potential buyer who's an investor / landlord, and you have them positioned at $95,000. You're trying to get it for $85,000 and build yourself somewhere in the middle, about $5,000, just to flip the deal. Correct?
Right.
Okay, great. Yeah, just wanted to clear that up because I know some people may be wondering what exactly just happened. but great. Great. All right, great for it.
All right, I'll play that one. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, good. You said you had a few questions. Did you have any other questions before we go to the next person?
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't know who's on the line, but I just got a contract this morning on a house in Hampton, Virginia. So if somebody's interested in flipping or buying, holding in Hampton, you know, shoot me a text message at 703-786-4419. And I'm asking 77 and an ARV is at 140. And it was lived in until the lady moved to South Carolina living with the daughter.
Great. Thanks for sharing that for us.
That one I just got that today, and I looked at it yesterday, and it's like I told you before. Those really difficult ones, you know, they take all your time, and then the easy ones just appear.
Yeah.
It's like you were talking about when you were walking around and you looked across the street and said, what's going on with that one, right?
Right. Yeah, it just appears. And, you know, speaking about appearance, though, I'm gonna jump in there. Well, two things, actually. Hold on. First, by the way, anyone listening today or even future, Forrest is a great investor. He's got a bunch of experience in the Virginia market. So if you have any interest, whether in getting in on deals with Forrest, hard money lender, being a private money lender, whatever it is, or partnering up or something, just get with Forrest. You guys can work something out. He's definitely got he's got experience. And the other thing about appearing is, you know, one year ago, my wife and I were chatting, and I said, you know, I really want to own, because I own a bunch of stuff in single family and in North Carolina, single family stuff. But I told my wife, I said, I really want to get some apartments in North Carolina. I want to start building an apartment portfolio in the same areas that I'm investing in. Well, you know, months went by, did all the due diligence, got the commercial broker, you know, build the relationships, months and months. I want to bring up this point right here. Months and months went by, right? It took time. I went out to Fayetteville 2 times, looked around with the broker, walked around some properties. So months and months went by until a buddy of mine, actually a business partner and client for a long time, presented an opportunity for me. And so now we're participating in that deal with him. And it just so, you know, again, it goes back to appearing. Sometimes you may have this clear what you think is going to happen in the transaction, you know, the way you think it's going to go down, and you have A, B, and C lined up, and you think everything's going to happen that way. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes your let's just say your dreams and your goals are going to happen in a different way. Just be open to it, but most importantly, in the beginning, set the vision for yourself. Set the vision of how you want your life to happen. Set the vision for yourself of how many deals or properties do you want? How much cash flow do you want in your business? How many properties do you want to own by the end of the year? And just start setting the vision, because when you set the vision, it's this thing in your brain that just starts working automatically, just like if you wanted some type of car or a certain type of house or whatever it is you want in your life. It's your mind just starts working on your behalf and starts finding those things. It starts attracting it into your life. So just keep that in mind, because it's very timely of what Forrest is saying with just, you know, the apartment that we're acquiring that we wanted in North Carolina. And it just happens. These things just start appearing. So I just wanted to reinforce that part. So back to you, Forrest.
Okay. So then, you know, that one deal that I've been, you know, losing sleep over, that was overpriced that I took under contract.
Yeah.
So the guy's in California, right? And so, you know, I got to thinking, like, he's the one with the problem, right? He's in California and he has a house in Virginia that's vacant. That's a $2,000 a month mortgage. So, you know, I discussed it with you. I discussed it with Larry. And, you know, Larry threw the option. He said, you need to sub two this deal. Even though I don't like sub twos, you need to throw it out there, partner with somebody that does. So I talked with the guy that you had hooked me up with earlier down in Charlotte. And, you know, we talked about it, and he said he was going to hook up with him. And then that guy left me hanging. And, I mean, we talked several times, and it was just, you know, birds chirping. And then anyway, I just sent an email to the seller, and I said, you know, I'm sorry that I couldn't make this happen, and I apologize that, you know, I wasn't able to follow through with what I said I was going to do. However, you know, I told you in the beginning, this was a really tight deal. It's not an investor level, and it would, you know, take a lot of effort, and it might not happen. But, you know, I hope that you understand that, you know, I'm here to help you if you need anything. You know, I'm a contractor. And I would also, you know, take over your mortgage payment and, you know, do it like that to alleviate that burden from you. Well, 2 weeks went by and he didn't do anything, but, you know, he still got a problem, right? So then he called me out of the blue a couple of days ago, Monday or Tuesday this week, and he said, yeah, I got your email and I appreciate it. And, you know, I still got this problem and, you know, I either need to fix it and rent it out myself, but what's this other thing about you just taking over my mortgage? So now him and his wife are discussing which are the two options that they're going to do with me. So even though I failed, I maintained the relationship, and now I've got, I'm going to monetize this deal in some way.
Right. So, that's great.
Yeah. So
it worked out. Great, man.
Just yeah, that's, being humble. And,
that's right.
You know, doing what you can do.
Absolutely. And that goes back to the most powerful point about this business, building the relationship. It's a relationship business, building the trust, adding value. I love how you apologize, because a lot of people, you know, might not even think that, you know. You know, it's like sometimes we get either embarrassed or pride gets in the way, but you were just open and clear with them and say, hey, I apologize, couldn't do it this way, but here's an alternative. And that's what people really want at the end of the day, especially in even bigger transactions with houses, with property. I mean, we get a lot of that just with cars, never mind with even bigger you know, purchases. So that's a really good move, man. That's really powerful. Good stuff. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome. So
awesome.
We'll see what happens. I'll keep you updated on that.
Yeah, please do. Please do. All right, good stuff. All right, let's open it up for the next questions. Thank you, Forrest, for sharing your insights there and your experiences. But let's open up for the next question. Whoever has the next question, just jump on in. I also like to remind you that if you do come on these calls, you know, bring your questions. You know, make sure that if you're listening to the calls, and not just the calls of me, but also even the calls of Larry, because I know there's many times I get emails after the fact, after the call, which is fine also, Nathan@LarryGoins.com. You can email me there. But also, when you're coming to the call, when you know these calls are happening, whether it's with Larry or myself, bring your questions to the call. You know, there's a lot of other people that can benefit. You may think like, oh, maybe no one else is going through this problem, or you know, my situation is rare. It's actually not true. A lot of other people need to learn and hear from your experience. And that's what actually really helps, is, you know, going over stories and situations. So let me open it up again for the next question.
Is there only us on the phone?
I think there's a total of 5 people today, but from what I heard. But, yeah. But here we are. What else you got? If you have any other questions, just jump in.
Yeah.
But for us, what you got?
I'll go through my list. I'll go through my list.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah.
We'll just work it all out. So,
yeah.
So we have the desire to be getting into the short-term rental business, and
mm-hmm.
so we're doing it through an arbitrage means, and so that's our desire. That's our desire to get in. So what we've been doing is advertising in college towns in Virginia, and anybody else in Virginia that's listening, don't do this. But anyway, so we're advertising. So one place is a little too far away for us, way down in Blacksburg. So if you're in Virginia, you want Blacksburg. I gave up on that part. But we're looking at Charlottesville and then Lynchburg, and so we got this. I've been getting several hits. I mean, 5 or 6 in the last 2 months of people that would be willing to, and I'm straightforward. I talk about, right in my ad, I want a corporate rental. I want to rent a house for a corporate rental. I'm straight up. I don't, mask this. I don't try to get in front of the face and blindside them. And so, I've got a lot of interest in Lynchburg. And so I just kept blowing it off. But this lady called me last night at 10 o'clock, and I have to turn my phone off. I put my phone to sleep at night and only allow, emergencies to come through. But anyway, I woke up this morning and I called her back, and, this lady, she's got these rentals and she had bought them for her kids, and now her kids are moving to different seasons of their life. And, she just totally renovated this entire house and it's been vacant since March. She's asking $715 a month, and it's one block away from the university. And she's like, "Yeah, I'd be totally cool with you doing this." And I'm like, "Okay." And the thing about her is she's a leasing agent.
Really?
She's a retired leasing agent. So she's like, totally cool. And what's awesome of her is, I offer to take all the maintenance and all the, trouble calls away. And she's like, "That's perfect for me because I'm getting old and I don't want to deal with this anyway."
Right,
and so
right.
Get further down the call, she's like, "Well, I have 2 more properties." So,
wow.
So now it's like, all right, man. So we have an appointment on Saturday.
There you go.
It's a little further. I would love for it to be in Richmond, but at the end of the day, if we could get 1, 2, or 3 properties going, in the same area with the same owner.
That'd be awesome. Let me ask you a question, Forrest. You said the location of that property was in Charlottesville?
Lynchburg,
okay. How is Charlottesville?
Everybody else needs to forget that.
Yeah. How is Charlottesville these days, just out of curiosity, in your opinion? What do you find pretty happening there in that market?
Charlottesville, here's the deal with Charlottesville. You got 2 things in Charlottesville. You got school, which is UVA, and then you have the military. And nobody thinks that Charlottesville is a military, but everybody who showed an interest in that neighborhood that I had that house that, didn't have enough equity to do a straight-up sale, that entire neighborhood is sought after by JAG lawyers, military lawyers that go to UVA school. And so it's an entire micro community of JAG lawyers in Charlottesville for that. And then there's another military thing in Charlottesville that nobody really talks about. And, it's a huge base there that, just nobody ever talks about. And then, Charlottesville, Culpeper, that whole area right there has become a commuter for Northern Virginia. And so, you're talking, 2 to 3,000 square foot houses that are selling for $300,000 to $500,000. And, that's not a bad market.
Right.
That's not a bad market at all. So it's got everything. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask you about going back to that Charlottesville. What would you say? You're saying the average price point in that area is 300,000 plus, 250 plus?
Yeah, I would say median's 250 to 300.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And would you say those, the people at the, in the surrounding area, are you saying most of those people either they're purchasing with conventional financing, or do you find this more leasing, renting going on in that, those markets for the people that are in the area?
I would say
conventional. Okay, great. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. I absolutely love what you did. And I want to just kind of reiterate your story here about this woman. You tested the market first by advertising, marketing for what you're trying to do, calling it in. And here's a perfect example of this woman who could not only have one, but have possibly three for you. And this is just part of life situation, right? For example, this came up last week when I was working with a client. And the question came up about, opportunity or making a deep discounted offer on a property. Are we doing a disservice to someone? And the reality is, it's not really about the money when you're in as an investor. It's about the solution that you can provide to their problem. For example, like the story you brought up earlier with the people, when you got the property, you made an offer around $40,000, the water damage. For example, the pain of the issue has to be stronger than the amount of money that you're asking for the property, the money they're getting, right? So the pain of the issue, the pain of the problem, like in this scenario with the woman who has the property that she's willing to do the leasing, the opportunity there is her pain is she doesn't want to deal with it. So she's willing to become flexible. And as investors, that's really what we're looking for, right? That's what makes us solutionists, where we have the opportunity to provide a solution in a situation that most people wouldn't think about. And I like how you're doing it, Forrest. You're getting creative. You know what you want. You want to be in that short-term game, short-term rentals, and you're getting out there. And that's what being active is, what gets you those results. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, the other way to put it is what I learned, when I was out at Trevor's place, last month, the care camp.
Yep.
is he has a picture of Mario and then turned it into Super Mario. And it talks about how, you're not selling to people. It says people don't buy products, they buy the better versions of themselves. So you're not selling, the house sale, right? You're not selling the fact that, you're going to buy the house for $41,000. You're selling the fact that after they don't have this problem anymore, this is, what their life's going to be like. But you use the pain to get them to pay attention and motivate them.
Right.
But you're selling them on the fact that, hey, you're not going to have this burden anymore. And you have to see it in a certain way for it to resonate to you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Great illustration. That's very true.
Yeah, I'll email it to you. I'm emailing it to you in a minute. All right. Next one. Let's see.
Yep.
Won't answer. This guy's stuck he's already in a contract. And let's see. This one. I don't want this one. I went and looked at a trailer yesterday and, I ended up leaving. I was like, I don't want that one anymore.
Was it a single? Was it a single or a double?
It was a single with an addition, But the problem with that trailer was, don't fall out your chair, but the lot rent was $625 a month, and people actually pay it.
What? Yeah. No, come on.
It was 10 minutes from the beach. It was 10 minutes from Virginia Beach, but I got the doggone rules and everything. $625 a month for lot rent.
Wow.
So it's like I said earlier, I'm not the guy with the problem, right?
Right.
You guys got a $625 a month of problem.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Let's see. I don't know what that one is. I kept calling that guy. This one guy called me, but he's too busy. to answer the phone again, but he's got a problem. Let's see. This was the other one. Mr. Van Wilson was the trailer. Love Shop Park. That's that lady right there is trying to get owner financing, and they said the guy who's doing the owner financing to him said, "Yeah, you give me $3,000 down, and I will, you know, put you in this house." Well, then he pulls a fast one on him and says, "No, I need $8,000 down," and they were going to sell me their trailer for $3,000 to make the down payment for their other one, and then the guy comes back. So now they're stuck with living in their trailer again. And then I had this old lady, sorry, apologize if that offended anybody. I had this older lady. She said she's got a trailer, single wide on an acre in Fork Union, Virginia, which is around Charlottesville, south of Charlottesville. And she said, you know, she said, you know, "I want $49,000 for the house." Well, I started doing my due diligence, and I saw that she had it listed for a month at $49,500, and, you know, couldn't get any takers. And so I called her this morning, and I said, "I can't give you $40,000. I want to come look at the house, you know, and I'd be willing to buy the house." And she said, "I can't give you this for that." She goes, "Well, that's what I'm asking." I said, "So let's be honest." I said, "You know, if I came out there, I'd give you a real offer that I would do. But nobody who has $50,000 in cash wants a single wide on an acre.
Right?
Okay? You're not going to get it financed. You're not going to get this thing financed. Nobody's going to get this thing financed. You're looking for a cash buyer that's willing to reinvest in this thing. So, do you want me to give you a real offer and spend my time, or do you want me to call you in 2 months?" When it still hasn't sold, and see if you're ready for my offer. That's exactly what I told you. Well, let me talk to my daughter.
I love it.
So it's, you know, everybody says it is about mindset, but you don't really realize it until you start putting it into action.
That's right.
But it is. Yeah. So, but I sent you a couple things just now. So,
okay.
Let's see, what else do I got going on? Those are the ones I'm working on right now.
Okay.
So,
great.
Let's see.
Well, I'll definitely take a look at the emails you sent over, and I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Well, good. All right. Did you have any last ones there that you noticed? Or?
The rest of them, I don't really think, you know, are going to go in a... A lot of them, I'm just doing offers to try to get in the habit of, if I talk to somebody, at least send them an offer. But I cast a pretty wide net, so I get a lot of minnows and, you know, feeder fish. You know, nothing I really want to put on the table. So I had one lady. She was in California. She wanted to sell her house, and I just kept asking for pictures. Give me pictures, and then. She finally said, "Yeah, sorry I never got you pictures, but I sold it to somebody else." I think, "How did you know I wouldn't have given you more money?" She goes, "Well, to be honest with you, I didn't." I said, "Okay, have a good
day." Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
anyway.
Oh, well. I guess that's about it, man. That's about what I have going on. Oh, so
great.
I got so I started the Facebook ads.
Okay.
And that property I got under contract today, it was a Facebook ad. So.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
Yeah, that's actually.
Wait, when did you start the ad? What day was that?
Two Mondays ago.
Oh, 2 Mondays ago. I was gonna say, like, okay. Yeah, 2 Mondays ago. Okay, that's not bad. And so that's the one, okay, hold on, remind me again, which
that's
one was
Newport
that
News.
You got on the
contract? That's the one.
Newport News.
Contract. Yeah. That's a Facebook ad, So with my training that I had to buy through Carrot and what I've paid so far, I'll tell you exactly what I have in it. So Carrot's got the training for $539 and $540, and then I have $240 spent on Facebook ads. So what's that? $780 that I have in it. for that first deal.
One.
But
yeah.
I haven't closed on the deal yet. So,
sure.
So the first contract cost me $800, but
right.
I'm up to several hundred dollars in AdWords, and I haven't got any more than wasted
okay.
clicks on that yet.
So, right, right.
And then Bing is the same thing. It's just invested money for no return yet.
Okay. So just to recap there, and Forrest, I'd love for you to keep me updated on what you find is working the best, conversions, as you always done. Just keep me updated on your progress with that, because that is very new for a lot of investors. Just to kind of recap on a few things that you mentioned, Forrest is actually doing a PPC, pay-per-click campaign, which is where you do online marketing, digital marketing, put an ad in front of someone to get them to click and to take some form of action, whether it's to call or send an email or fill out a form. And so that's some of the stuff he's mentioning. He's investing money into that marketing, just as you would as if you were buying yard signs, just as if you would if you were buying a list and doing direct mail. This is more of, it's today, it's current marketing, it's digital marketing, it's today and it's the future. It's the wave of the future. Even today, I can't even say it's the future anymore. So that's what Forrest is talking about, and some of the resources he's tapped into through Investor Carrot, having their website, driving traffic, and making that happen and getting those returns. So, and that's something we've definitely promoted. On these calls, we've talked about it. Investor Carrot, one of the best, pretty much one of the best online SEO. Websites that are in the marketplace right now that we've seen for a number of years gives a great return on investment for what's there for SEO marketing and
pay-per-click marketing. In Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah. Only if you're not in Richmond, Virginia, you should get one. Forrest has spent definitely a lot of time and effort into making it happen. And Forrest, keep me updated on not only me personally, but also on the calls. With us and let us know, your results and what you get out of that. I'm sure it's going to be beneficial.
Yeah, I'm planning on it. It's like you said. It's not so much the money. It's actually it takes time.
Yeah.
Anybody can throw money at it and go have somebody
right.
manage it. But I'm like everybody, right? I live on a budget, so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It takes time and money, so you want to get a return, and you want to get a return quickly. And I think that, getting that return that quick is great, but, I don't know if it's for everybody, but you have to learn. You can't just go and
right.
you just go make ads. I mean, you just can't do it.
Right.
Because, I didn't, nobody that, because you can track everything. And
mm-hmm.
nobody that I directly targeted came from that yet,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yeah.
the people that I directly targeted, I just did lookalike campaigns, and
right.
That's how that one came from. That's how what that came from was a lookalike campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
It's pretty cool. And, the other
right.
thing about the training that, Carrot offers, and it's the guy, mm-hmm. it's Carrot teamed up with Silver Street Marketing,
yeah.
Kylie Newbold,
mm-hmm.
and they're an open book, right? They want you to succeed, right? If you invest money in them, they're all
yeah.
about credibility and testimonials, so they want you to succeed. So, today I'm doing a weekly phone call with them
mm-hmm.
to critique my ads and just sit there, because everybody needs an expert in on their team, right?
Right.
So,
exactly.
So I've got them critiquing my ads today to see if there's anything I can
nice.
Tweak or anything like that to
right.
get better. Because, if you can save $100, per
right.
deal, that's a big deal, or $1,000 or
yep.
whatever.
It adds up. That's the truth.
Adds up.
That's
for real.
Good stuff, Forrest.
So,
gosh, thank you so much
yeah.
for sharing that.
Yeah, well, what else are you going to do for an hour, Nathan? You're going to talk to yourself.
Well, I can't. I wish everybody was a little. I wish more people were more actively involved with you.
Yeah. Good. Are you back home?
All right.
Where are you back home?
I'm actually in Massachusetts, and I just came from Cleveland, and I came from New York for 2 days with my buddy and his girlfriend. We hung out for 2 days, and I'm back in Massachusetts finalizing the documents for my kids and my wife to become Portuguese citizens. So we have some good progress in the works, but hopefully wrapping all that up in within the next week or two, and then I'll be back in Uganda. Probably in the mid-July. That's the goal.
Mm. Okay. So you get to spend the fourth year. What are your plans?
Somebody else just asked me that. I don't know what the plans are. I think, if anything, I'd probably want to get away from my local, from the city I grew up in. So I don't know. I might actually go back to New York. If not, maybe I'll do Boston. Something, I don't know, something different that I haven't done in a really long time.
Mhm.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's gotta be new and unique. I don't think I want to stay local. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well.
So, all right, bud. Well, let me see if there's any more questions here on this call, and then we'll wrap it up. But thanks so much for sharing. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Good stuff. All right. Anyone else have a question, whether it's working with sellers or with buyers? Also, if you have any questions to anything that maybe Forrest brought up that you want more clarity on, you can get an answer here. Just jump on in. And also, if you have any questions that you don't want to say your questions on the call, you can always email me at nathan@larrygoins.com.
Hey, Nathan, this is Alex. Floris.
Hey, Alex. How are you?
All right. How are you?
Good, man.
I sent you an email with that one deal that I got in Fruithurst, Alabama. That it fell out of escrow yesterday because the buyer wasn't able to get the loan. So I just got on with that and find
another
buyer.
Could you repeat that? You're saying the buyer couldn't get the loan?
Yeah, they couldn't get the loan because their father was it's a daughter and
medical.
Father. The
yeah.
father, he had some back child support. He didn't want to pay it. Or, I don't know the issue exactly.
Okay. So moving forward, here's something, because I know we talked about this before. The next person that comes to the door, right, to the next person that's going to get this, you need to get a contract and a security deposit, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because what you could have been $1,000 up right now,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now you put, and I know you put a little bit of money into the deal again. So what we need to do is make sure this is a deposit, okay? So I know you were juggling two people before, but we need to first come, first serve, security deposit, contract, all right? We'll work on that together, of course, but I just wanted to make that clear. Because in situations like this, you know, now you're back to square one. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, and then what do you think about listing it with the agent that I have over there? Would you recommend it?
I wouldn't recommend it. I think because, again, you know, also you got to consider your costs for, you know, agencies. So I wouldn't recommend it. Unless your agent is saying, hey, I have a buyer, right? Is your agent telling you that verbally, like, hey, I have a buyer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like with this one, she was actually in the deal as well for this buyer.
Yeah.
And so she was getting a percentage anyways. But,
oh, okay, yeah.
For that last one, but.
Right.
So
leave it like that then. Leave it like the way it is. If she's going to bring you a buyer anyway and she's still going to get in the deal, that's fine. But in the meantime, what I care more about is, Alex, is you doing the process of the marketing. I think that's really important. It's part of building, you know, building the muscles like you've been doing. You're getting that experience. So I would do it that way. If you want, I think you already have it on Zillow, to my knowledge, right? You already have it on Zillow.
Yeah.
Correct? Yeah. So you got it on Zillow. You can even do a flat fee listing service, which gets it on all the websites. Sometimes that can be, it can range depending on the market. It can be anywhere from as low as $300 to as high as, you know, $1,000, depending on the service company. You can do flat fee listings. But I would say continue to do it that way. And if your agent brings the buyer, then bring them in on the deal. But in the meantime, just keep marketing it the way you have been, because, and you know this, you've seen the way Craigslist is, the way Facebook Marketplace is, even agents, all they're going to do is the same thing that you're already doing, right? Agents are on Facebook Marketplace. Agents are on Craigslist, posting the properties they have on the MLS just to get, you know, eyeballs on the property. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, So that would be my recommendation for that.
Okay. Yeah, and also, yeah, I've had a few people. I'm gonna call some other guys
right.
I had online that. And,
I remember that.
But also, I had another couple call me about seller finance, and they had $10,000 to put down. So that's another option.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, if you have something like that, you could always sell the note, like we talked about last time. You could always sell the note. You get the down payment. You could always sell the note. You might have to work something out maybe with your private money lender down the road, if anything. But you could always sell the note. That's not a problem. And I can work on that part with you as well. I got a note buyers list. I have some direct contacts of guys who buy notes literally like 3 months after closing. You don't want to do it right at closing, but 3 months after closing or 6 months after closing. So, yeah, if they have $10,000, that may be a great option for you right there, man.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, I sent you an email, or a couple emails, actually, yesterday regarding my other realtor. He HUD sent him a email saying that if I was still interested, if the buyer was still interested in that property.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that property was for... It's listed on HUD for $85.50.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think I could get it under contract for $47. I think it would be $45.99 or something.
Right.
So.
I mean, that's 50% right there. If the house is valued even at $85, right, where what it was listed for, that's a great deal. You're already at 50%. Yeah, I got to jump into my emails. I haven't done that yet. Sorry, my mom was in surgery at the hospital, and I was kind of being there for her. But I got to jump into my emails today, and I'm going to look at that property because that sounds like a great deal, man. If it's valued, I mean, you're basically, from what I'm hearing, and if the value is holding at 85 and you're getting that 45, that kind of thing, you're already at 50%. So that's a great deal.
Yeah. No, that's what it seems to be valued at, around 85.
Yeah.
I do notice on there's same property is an address. But
say that part again on what?
That same property is listed under a different address.
Oh.
But HUD has the right address, but it's listed under a different address. And
do you mean like HUD has the right address and then like something like Trulia or Redfin? Or whatever has a different address.
Yeah. Well, like I went on the HUD. I went on HUD, and then I went to Zillow. Right. Looked up the address.
Okay.
It's 1528th Street. So 128th Street, and then I went to. I went to the comparables, and then a different address came up, 2800. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm.
It was just weird. And it's under the
$2,800. Sure, okay. Well, the best thing to do, one, you could work with the HUD directly, confirm that with them. And then also you could check the county records and just confirm that that's the right address. I would do that rather than the third-party sites like Zillow or any other ones, because sometimes someone could have inputted that information wrong into those sites.
Yeah. And actually on county records, it's $2,800.
So it's $2,800?
Yeah, so it's weird.
Okay.
But when I Google it and zoom in, it says 15, so.
Okay. Yeah, well, more than likely, if the county record says 2800 and HUD says 2800, then it might just be an online thing, I guess. Something in Google Maps or something.
Yeah. Well, no, HUD says the other opposite, but
HUD says the opposite.
I think so. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
But weird. But one of them gets better comps than the other. But the
That's not fun. Oh, that's unique. All right. Wow. Yeah, I definitely gotta check out their emails. I'm interested in knowing about this. That's interesting.
Yeah, but that's it. So, yeah, I'm gonna
okay
that out. So.
Okay. So I think we can definitely look at. The HUD deal might be a good one. I definitely you gotta clear up the address thing. We'll work on that. But when it comes to the other property, we gotta get the security deposit, $1,000. And the option of the owner finance, you know, could be a great option. You already, you know, if they got 10 grand, that's great. So that's definitely be a good potential buyer right there.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's actually a good number. I like, you know, I like how there's some markets that can actually pull. I like to be in the markets that pull for owner financing that can pull a $10,000 down payment. That's usually what I like to shoot for, at least a minimum of 10 grand. I've had some people that, you know, we first go on the call and they have like 6 or 8 or something like that, and then we find ways to get them to earn more money to get them at least to a minimum of 10. I like that. I'm glad you got. I'm glad you had a few people already coming up the table with at least 10 grand or even more. Like I remember that other woman you said at 40 grand. Remember?
But she was upset. She found out how much I bought it for or something.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why. Some people are like that, but it happens.
And I know you told me the answer to this before. You said for note buyers, the percentage they usually get, there was two, mm-hmm. you know, company versus individual note buyer. Can you refresh my memory?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, note buyers, like for institutions, like companies, professionals who actually buy notes, they like to be at a maximum of 30%. On average, they want like a 15 to 20% yield. That's what they typically want, 15 to 20%. It's negotiable. I've been in many negotiations with no buyers. The private parties, you can have a lot more flexibility. I think those are the best, actually. I just sold a note, an entire note, a month and a half ago, I think it was. And it was to a private party, and the discount was like, there was hardly any discount. So, but they were willing to buy it. They wanted the interest rate was 10%, loan term was 15 years, and they didn't mind. They didn't mind, like, it didn't have a big, deep discount. So that was, you know, when someone's running a, when you go for institutional note buyers, they have their parameters, and, you know, they have, you know, a management team and all that kind of stuff. When you're doing it for, when you do it to a private party, you know, just any other private investor, it's really flexible. I mean, on average, I mean, you probably can get lower numbers, lower yields, you know, maybe 10%, 8%. But if they've done it a few times, then they're probably going to be up more towards the 15%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, that way I could throw it in that analyzer and see how the numbers work out.
I would run the numbers anywhere between like 15% to 20%. I think today in today's market for what I'm seeing for note buyers, and actually Forrest was on the call earlier. He's also sold a few notes already. If he left his phone number on the call as well. But the
they're not easy.
They're not there he is. They're not easy, especially when you're calling. Forrest, were you dealing with, like, institutional no buyers?
I ended up going with I would say he's a private buyer, but, I mean, he's got an office, right? You know, I dealt with the principal of the company up until the contract was signed, and then he passed me on to his staff.
Yeah, yeah. And what was, like, from your research, what would you say the average yield was that they were looking for?
I think you got a 14 yield on that.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So That's kind of what I was ready to tell Alex. I say, you know, typically I would say 15 is like institutional, 15% and above. If you're going to go like right after closing, you're going to sell that note, that rate is going to be a bit higher. I would say 23% and above, up to 30.
Right.
However, when you're dealing with private parties, you like Boris is saying, you probably can get it under 15%. Could be 10%, could be 8% yield for them. You know, it's just a matter of the negotiation.
And season for how long? Like 6 months, you think, or 3 months?
Private
I
parties.
I have not been successful with 6 months. I've been more successful with over 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say the same with that too. If you're going to get a deeper, if you're going to get a slower, if you're going to get a lower yield to the note buyer, it's probably going to be around 6 months. Anytime you get closer to like not no seasoning, you, whatever, 1 week, 1 day,
yeah.
You're probably at a higher yield. Yeah, they're going to want more money for the deal.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
More yield for the deal.
All right. That's it for me. Yeah.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah, if you can check out those emails. Yeah.
Okay. I will.
Speaking of note buying, I did talk to Shantae. Is that her name? The lady
Shantae?
You did the lady that you did.
Oh,
the,
yeah. At Madison. The, at Madison. Yeah.
Madison. Yeah, Madison. And she, I hate to say it, I mean, she sounded all excited when, you know, I sent them to her, and she was like, I got somebody in the office right now. Let me run them to him. And then, you know, I haven't heard from her in like a week, so I got to follow up with her, whatever. Because, I mean, at least she would broker the thing, wouldn't she? I mean, at least
yeah,
she would put
yeah.
it on her website. So I don't know what happened.
I'll tell you what, Forrest, I would definitely put some follow-up steam on that. In the past in the past 2 months with Shantae, I have had to follow. I have had to remind her and nudge her a few times. So, and she replied back to one of the emails and said, hey, Nate, sorry, just we got a lot of business going on right now. We're hiring some new people. So I would, I guess with the hire, they because they even gave me a new asset manager over there. So I think they're expanding and they're just training some new people. So I'd just give her a little nudge about it and she'll get back to you.
All right, I will. And
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks.
All right, guys. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for being on the call. Thank you for sharing your stories and your questions. Yeah, really great, fun call. Good stuff. Good stuff. Good things are happening. Good things to hear. If you have any other questions, you can email me at nathan@larrygoins.com, and we'll get your questions answered through there. And just as a reminder, these calls are the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. And at 12, what is it? I was corrected last time, by the way. I kept saying Eastern Standard Time, but I guess it's Daylight Savings Time or something like that. Anyway, you'll get the emails, and it would be great to have you on the call. Remember to bring your questions to the call. That way we can get them answered. All right, have a great weekend, the rest of the week and weekend coming up. Talk to you real soon.
Bye, Nate.
Thank you.